at the end of the day, it's just stories are how we relate to each other. It's how we understand each other and ourselves. So, you know, if people can take something away from that that's useful, I did my job.
That's Rob Hart, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. What happens when the deadliest people on Earth take on their most terrifying job yet? Babysitting. Ahead, I'll talk with Rob Hart about three hitmen and a baby. It's the third novel in his Assassins Anonymous series. Rob Hart's previous novels include The Medusa Protocol, Assassins Anonymous, The Paradox Hotel, The Warehouse, and the Ash McKenna crime series. He's also the co-author of Scott Free with James Patterson. Rob, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, before we talk about this latest novel, tell us about Assassins Anonymous.
Yeah. So it was an idea that I had, you know, for years and years. I wanted to do a story about a bunch of assassins from different walks of life in a group therapy type program, because I thought it would be funny to have them all sitting around talking about their feelings. And it was one of those ideas that just kind of sat on the back burner for years and years. And it was like, all right, you know, I'll get there when I get there. And then one day it just clicked in my head like, oh, recovery programs, because that creates a container for the story. There's an amends process. There's 12 steps. You know, there's the sponsee-sponsor relationship. There's so much there that you can dig into. And I peaked. You know, John Wick gets into a 12-step program for killers is probably the best elevator pitch I'm ever going to come up with.
So you have this group of people who are trying to put their past behind them to, you know, like you said, sort of make amends, redeem themselves. But it's not so easy because, as we will discuss in this current book that's out, there's a big dilemma here. But before we get there, tell us about the inspiration for this story. What made you think about having these really dangerous killers babysit?
You know, part of it is I'm a dad. You know, I've got an 11-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old stepson. And I thought there was an interesting dynamic there. I mean, I think I came up with the title, Three Hitmen and a Baby, before I actually started writing it. But it felt like a really interesting way to push and challenge these characters, because they really are immensely capable and immensely skilled. But caring for a kid is, you know, it's a different ballgame. So it was, you know, pushing them in ways that they hadn't been pushed before. And they obviously make some mistakes, which sets the plot into motion. But they're not like stupid mistakes. They're just, you know, it's a new territory for them.
So tell us about the plot of Three Hitmen and a Baby.
Sure. So in this group, there is a woman named Valencia who has a daughter, Lucia, who's a toddler, and she has to go handle something related to her family, and she doesn't know what to do with her daughter. So Mark and Booker and Astrid, three of the members of the group say, oh, you know, like, leave her with us. It'll be fine. And then a spoiler alert, it is not fine. But effectively what happens is Lucia pops a really high fever in the middle of the night, and they panic and they take her to urgent care, and they realize like, oh, wait a second. We don't know this girl's last name, and we all have assumed identities. And so because that creates a little bit of friction, obviously the staff does the correct thing, which is contact the NYPD, because they're like, you know, there are questions here that need to be answered. And then things start going sideways because they don't know, you know, if the cops get involved, if CPS gets involved, what it's going to mean for Lucia and for Valencia.
This is the third book in this Assassins series. Will it stand alone for people who are new readers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the key to writing a good series, is you want to be able to pick it up and feel like you're able to enjoy the story without having to feel like you need to do homework to enjoy it. Now, obviously, you know, my children have a taste for sushi. So, you know, if people want to go back and buy the other two books, they can. It's going to be a big help for me. And there are things that if you read all of the books, you know, certain things will pay off over time. But yeah, I always want someone to feel comfortable if they're just picking up one entry in it.
Is this meant to be a trilogy, or will there be more books in this series?
There is actually. The fourth book has been filed with my editor. She loves it. She's going to be getting me notes probably today, actually. It's called City of Killers, and it's set in Bangkok. And it changes some of the formulas here a little bit, but in a way that I think is really fun. And after that, we'll see. It's one of those things that, you know, the market will dictate. I would love to write more in the series. It's currently in development as a movie. Steven Spielberg has it over at Amblin. He wouldn't be directing, he would be producing, but that's still pretty awesome. So, you know, there's a world in which I write, you know, 20 of these. And there's a world in which maybe after the fourth one, we take a little bit of a break. You know, I'm kind of at that moment now where we're trying to figure out which is which.
Let's talk a moment about Mark, because he's part of this group that are trying to change their ways to no longer be killers. But he's put in a very difficult situation. It's, you know, how can he protect the people he loves? And you can reveal as much of that as you want without spoilers, perhaps, and also keep his promise not to kill anymore.
So, you know, in the first book, we find out what got Mark into recovery, which is he fell in love with a woman and, you know, was thinking of quitting. And then something really tragic happens because he misjudges the situation. And this woman he later finds was pregnant. So, you know, he has a son, but he doesn't have any contact with him because given his past and his, you know, the people who are after him, he could put them in danger. So he's trying to protect them. And someone finds out their identities in this book. So that's kind of like the other part of the plot is he's trying to protect them. And then it raises really interesting questions about, you know, how far is he willing to take this? Like at what point is he willing to say, you know what? I did my best. I have to break my sobriety because it's the only way I can protect people. So it's, you know, I'm constantly trying to put them in positions where I'm, you know, making them think about what their lines are a little bit because recovery is not a linear process. It's, you know, it's something I take very seriously. I have friends in recovery who, when I was talking to them about the first book, they were like, hey, this sounds fun, but you have to treat it seriously because this saved my life. And so right from the jump, I was like, this is not a gimmick. It's got to mean something. They would also tell me, I'm not cured. It's not that I'm no longer an addict. I'm still an addict. I'm just not using. So it's trying to find what those lines are in terms of how can they navigate the world while living up to the expectations they set for themselves?
And there's also this expectation that others in this little group of assassins have for each other because they've created their own sort of found family here. And among many other dynamics in here, they don't want to let each other down.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing is they all come from traumatic backgrounds because I mean, look, you know, I don't know any professional killers, but I have to imagine that if you get to that point in your life, you know, there's some trauma there and some mistakes were made along the way. They see that in each other, but they also see in each other the desire to change. You know, like this series was very much about me hitting my 40s and being like, you know, there are things in my life that I'm really proud of and there are things in my life that I'm kind of ashamed of. And I want to be a better person for myself, for my daughter, for my family. And the question is it even possible? Like, how do you do that? How do you make amends for the mistakes that you've made? So as with anything, I thought the best way to do it would be to, you know, completely blow out the premise and be like, well, let's explore my issues through the lives of professional killers and see what happens.
Well, this is a story about, as you point out, professional killers, not the sort of normal profession that most people go into. So I'm curious about why do you think readers identify with these characters?
The assassin character is one of those, you know, archetypal characters like the gunslinger or the private eye. And I think there's a couple of things at play there. One is that it's, you know, it's kind of like a fantasy where, you know, we sometimes enjoy watching people act out things that we wouldn't necessarily do ourselves. There's usually an element of justice tied into it in the sense that, you know, all of these assassins in this program, you know, they all have moral codes. And for a very long time, they convince themselves, like, I'm killing the bad people. So if I'm killing the bad people, it's okay. Until they finally come to a point where they're like, actually, just killing is pretty bad across the board, and I shouldn't be doing it. But it's a moral gray area that I think is really, really fascinating. And I think people enjoy that to be able to sit there and say, oh, wow, like, how do I feel about this? You know, it turns into a reflection of their own morals.
So I guess also it could be inspirational in a way. You think, well, if these assassins can change their ways, maybe whatever I'm dealing with, I can, you know, change my ways as well.
Exactly. Exactly. I got this email after the first book came out, and it was this woman who said, you know, hey, you know, I read this book. I had been in recovery and it didn't work for me, but reading this book makes me want to give it another chance. And I swear to you, if I never made another cent from books, if my career was over tomorrow, I could hang my hat on that, you know, because that's the thing. Fiction is an empathy machine. You know, for as much as I'm playing in this like fantasy realm of like, you know, assassins with cool nicknames and, you know, Russian mobs and all this weird stuff. At the end of the day, it's just stories are how we relate to each other. It's how we understand each other and ourselves. So, you know, if people can take something away from that, that's useful. I did my job.
There's also, I said there's an inspirational component perhaps to people, but also that just raises the question, can people really change?
Yeah. And I think you have to, you know, look, no one's perfect. You know, I still make mistakes all the time. But I think what's important is the desire to change and be better, to be able to make a mistake and look at it and take responsibility for it and say, okay, that was my fault. How can I keep from repeating this mistake? And once you can kind of get on that pathway of at least trying, I think that's a really, really huge and important first step.
This book mixes a lot of different things together successfully. I mean, you've got assassins, you've got humor, you've got, you know, heartfelt relationships. You know, I'm curious about sort of how you put that all together in a way that, you know, makes sense for you and also appeals to readers.
I wish I had a better answer for it other than these books just feel very, very suited for my voice. You know, I like to think that I take other people very seriously, but I try not to take myself too seriously. So, you know, I enjoy humor. I can be a bit of a goofball. But I also know that everyone is struggling with something and we should always be mindful and caring for the people around us. So it's finding that entry point has always been pretty easy for me because I care about these characters so much because those characters are such a reflection of me and my own life.
So we talked a little bit about found family. What are some of the other themes that you're trying to explore in these books?
Definitely redemption, you know, if it's possible to redeem oneself after making mistakes. In this book, very much it's the responsibilities of being a parent, you know, and not just for our own children, but for the children in our lives. You know, Mark and Booker and Astrid might not be related to Lucia, but she is very much their daughter. So, you know, it's what will we do to make sure that this child grows up happy and healthy and in a way that we didn't, you know, it's that generational thing where we want better for our children. We want them to have a better upbringing. We want to make less mistakes with them. So it's very much how these people who have had these really violent, traumatic pasts can say, you know, how can we keep this as far away from her as possible?
So I'm curious, in real life, if you had to choose one of them to be a babysitter, who would it be?
Oh, man, that's tough because I would like to think that after this book, they have all learned some very good lessons. You know, I like Astrid a lot because she has a medical background. You know, she's not used to working with kids. So obviously that's part of the problem that, you know, precipitates the plot. But yeah, I think, but honestly, I think the three of them come out of this with a much different viewpoint and a much better skill set. So I would say the three of them, any one of them would probably do a pretty good job.
So typically I ask authors, what's next? You mentioned there's another book coming along in this series. Can you tease us anything more about that book?
Sure. So it's called City of Killers and it's set in Bangkok, which was purely because me and my wife got married in September. And then I went to Thailand for our honeymoon and we had such a good time. And I was like, well, I have to set a book here because maybe they'll invite me back. And the idea is that Bangkok is sort of like the unofficial retirement city for killers because your money goes really far. And it's such a big city with, you know, so many people, so many expats, so many tourists that regardless of what race you are, it's easy to disappear into a crowd. So that was a really fun book to write. I also have another series that I'm writing. It started with a book called Detour that I co-wrote with Jeff Rake, who is the creator and showrunner of the TV show Manifest. So Detour came out this past January, and that's a sci-fi book. It's about a bunch of astronauts going to space to do something, and then they come back to Earth, and Earth is really weird, and they're trying to figure out why. The second book in that series is going to come out in January. It's called Roundabout. So I'm currently on a two books a year schedule, which is super fun, but I'm always looking for new projects and new things to do.
Well, this current book is Three Hitmen and a Baby. It's part of that Assassins Anonymous series by Rob Hart. Rob, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.